Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, at this point, it's just a hodgepodge of entertainment, right? What's that Glenn Beck guy say? Entertainment and enlightenment. You know what he always said?
Are we allowed to steal Glenn?
No, we can't. Don't say his name because
okay, we don't want
to get mad when you say their name because they think you're trying to pirate off of their success.
Okay, all right.
No, I mean, is that what they do, right?
Hey, so we're recording, so we can't say his name. Okay.
Yeah, don't say his name because he'll get mad and ignore us. So. Maybe one of these days, if we don't say his name, we'll actually get on his show.
I don't know that I want to get on his show.
I don't either, but I don't want to say his name because he's probably got fans in our audience. Certainly in my audience, he's got fans.
I'm sure. So as we record this.
This is a cold opening. Yeah, we just did it cold right here.
This is just people, as cold.
They've got to know by now that Jace, the producer, is still in the throes of death, or close to it.
Yes,
that's why the music doesn't
Play
like it's supposed to. All the intro stuff doesn't work right, and that's because I'm doing it. And you know what? I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy, right? People are here for the content, not for the
all the frills. Song, yeah, right? All the frills. Yeah, yeah. Even though it's a great theme song. Listen, it's a
you
great
know,
theme
hey,
song.
My 13-year-old is trying to teach himself to play a banjo right now. So if that comes to fruition, I'm going to have him make one specially for me.
Okay. All right.
He literally went from playing a Stratocaster, then to, nope, I need a acoustic guitar. Now he has jumped to a banjo. Because see, what happened is my dead brother, I hate to keep mentioning my dead brother, but he is still dead. He had a cello.
Ooh, okay.
He had self-taught himself to play a cello. He was a horn guy in high school. And for whatever reason, late in life, he decided to get a cello and teach himself to play cello. So if you can believe this, I had a lot of relatives fight over that cello.
Really? Okay. I can believe it.
So there were certain...
Now, because of the value or the sentimentality?
Well... The person that ended up with it is my stepmom because she is going to teach the grandkids how to play it because she was my middle school band teacher and she is a true music teacher, right? Okay. So she wanted it to teach my brother's youngest kids to my other brother that's alive, his youngest kids to play, right? Yeah. So, but in that, she gave it, I think it was olive branch, or maybe she didn't want her grandkids to play the banjo. But when she come to get the cello, she gave my kids a banjo, or give me a banjo, and I give it to my kid. So I think that's probably more like it. She didn't want her grandkids playing a banjo.
I can see that. A banjo would seem to be less sophisticated than a cello. However, you know,
Steve Martin plays a banjo.
I know, and he does it very well. And
right.
I know some really great banjo players down in Nashville, and it's one of the harder instruments to really master, you know, to really get good at.
Yes.
Although they say the ukulele is the hardest.
My mom's got a half a dozen dulcimers. What are they called?
Dulcimers.
Dulcimers, which are apparently the true hillbilly instrument.
Yes, they are. At least that's in what I believe. I don't know. That may not be true. What do I know?
Anyhow.
Here's the ironic thing is people who are real true fans of the Midweek Howl have had to wait a little bit extra. As soon as we're recording this, it's going right up on the press.
That's right. And we're gonna do a recording juggernaut over the next week or so, week and a half.
We're gonna get some stuff in the can. So we have plenty in the
stack.
Yeah.
And do you want to tell them about my idea on the way? We were discussing the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So not that we want a deluge of super fans, but you came up with the idea that you'd like to start inviting some of the true big Ozark Howler, Midweek Howl fans onto the show and maybe do a little question and answer with them. Yeah.
Yes, because as we've said, when people email the show, good or bad, I don't get any of them. They go to you. And then he sends me the good ones, or screenshots me the good ones, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm on Twitter, but I've only got 134 followers, only one of which I know listens to the podcast. So you had to go, you were my gatekeeper. You're Colonel Parker.
And you're Elvis? You're Elvis.
Oh, God. You're my Colonel Parker. Yeah. But what I started to say earlier today is, when I find this, is we're going to reach out to some of those super fans and ask them to join in. Now, there's obviously going to be some scheduling conflicts or whatever. And that way, because they email you questions, and then you have to tell me you show me the question and I answer it. There's a delay
Yeah, kind of like when we were talking about the coffin,
and we got
the information from the gentleman who is the funeral home director, and next time we should just have him on.
We just have him on. I'm sure he doesn't necessarily use his real name or whatever, but he's probably got a funeral home story to tell, and that will lead into a dialogue. Of entertainment. So you guys, anybody that wants to be on the podcast, you email the podcast thing, however you do that, Shane, you tell them on Facebook.
Just get a hold of me either on Instagram on the From the Shadows podcast Instagram. Yep. Get a hold of me on my page, or get a hold of us on the From the Shadows Messenger on Facebook. In fact, I sent a message last night to Amy in Ohio, who I know is a big fan of the Howler, and about something else, about a paranormal thing. And I'm thinking, after re-looking at her stuff, I think she'd be a great guest. I just need her to answer this question. So if she's listening, maybe she'll recognize that and go check her messages.
You know? Right. So, so we're going to have some fan interaction here, and you know what, we're going to leave it raw just like it is, because it might crash and burn, because we are picking essentially strangers, right?
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee that they're going to be entertaining, or they're going to ask any kind of question or you know what I mean? I don't know if the wheels are going to come off.
You know what though? I think our real fans, they kind of know us, okay? Because we're pretty real on here. I mean, we don't hold anything back. And I tell you what, I think everybody's got a story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember that old comedy stuff, Roy D. Mercer, How Big a Boy Are You, or something like that? that's what I was kind of leery of. I thought, man, somebody might get on here and
threaten us?
Not necessarily threaten us, but take us in a direction that we don't want to go. And I, you know, I told a gentleman today, I was in a setting where I exhibited some behavior that took him back.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
There was a guy in a professional setting where I had to tell him a little later because he kept apologizing, right? He kept apologizing for the scenario because he assumed the only fools I suffer are those that are entertaining. Okay. And the people that exhibited some behavior today are used to people going with it. You know, like the guy I was dealing with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who, even though he thought these people were childish and pettish and petty, he would never have told them that because they, in theory, occupy half-assed positions of power. Okay.
I'm going to use that term. This is so cryptic, but
that's right.
This is so cryptic. One of these days, we should have it on the.
I don't necessarily want to throw the whole shooting match under the bus at this point because
you're still employed.
Yeah, I've got a little half-assed part-time job, and I have a future in that space if I choose it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The problem is I don't know if I can do it because the people are so petty and so I told my guy today, I said, this is the deal, man. I am an assaholic. He said, a what? I said, you know how an alcoholic is an alcoholic, whether he drinks or not. You know, once you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic forever. That dude's still in you. You just choose not to exhibit that behavior. You with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. I'm an asshole. And every day I've got to fight not to be one dozens of times a day.
You know, when you said that word, I'm like, which way are you going with this?
Well, the other way too, but I certainly don't partake in the spoils like I used to because I'm old and married and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, both ways. But the attitude wise, so at any, in my wife, my kids will certainly tell you, they don't know what the triggering event is going to be. Now they're old enough to realize that it's, they, you know, my daughter especially, they just ignore it, right? But it could happen at the drop of a hat, which is why I try to, when I was young, I was extroverted and I assumed I had all these friends and I did all this stuff. But as I get older, I want to be left alone. I spend more time with my dogs than almost anybody else. You know what I mean? I was just,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and because I realize the older I get, my wife told me the other day, she said, I'm dreading being married to you in old age because I think you're going to be mean. I told her to shut up or I was going to smack her again. And, anyhow, So I took his part-time job a little bit to help a guy out. And every day, I'm not every day, but a lot of days I am exposed to the general public in a way that I'm not used to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not used to. So, I don't know where I was going with it. Where was I going with it? I'm getting sundowners or something.
I don't know where you were going with it. I think I know where you were going with it,
So when we get these guests on here, when we randomly says, I've got a couple, I'm going to send an olive branch out to, but we're going to random some people in, and when they get on our thing, I mean, the wheels could come off, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I would like to think, you know, I was keeping a positive attitude when I broached the topic with you and you went and said it's a great idea because there's a couple fans that I was wanting to talk to and interact with. I could tell by their questions, they've kind of been around a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So that made me think, okay, well, let's talk to them. But then I got to thinking, maybe we should talk to the dude in Montana. Dylan went to Montana where the superfan was, or Wyoming. Where was he? Montana? Where was he at? You know what I'm talking about?
Was it Arkansas? I'm not sure.
Arkansas. It was somewhere out west, wasn't it?
I don't know. I mean,
the guy, he's my fan, not yours.
So he's not. I don't think he's a fan of anybody's, to be honest.
I bet you listen to this episode. I don't know. And that's what I'm saying. So how do we know that the people won't?
Well, that.
Play Misty for me. Right?
You're going to make me choose my words. You're going to make me choose my words wisely.
What?
You're going to make me choose my words wisely.
Okay.
That kind of off the rails is a whole nother meaning altogether. If we would have that gentleman on, because that's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole nother thing. Okay. But I know what you're saying. We get approached by people that want to come on the paranormal part of the podcast, and I kind of talk to them a little bit beforehand and make sure that they're going to have a good story to tell, and that it's something that's going to be interesting, and we can get at least a half hour, 45 minutes out of it. Okay. And as you know, I was supposed to interview somebody tonight at 8 o'clock, and the guy disappeared. Now, does that mean that the story he was going to tell me got him, and that's part, and it's going to even be an even better story? I don't know.
Yeah, but, like the ghost that he was going to talk about didn't want to be talked about and took him out, or you think the dude just got scared? Like, I know some people that have told me some great stories, and when I ask them to be on a podcast, you would think I was asking them to carry uranium-235 to a holding tank without protection or something. I've got a cousin that's got more stories than I do. And I mean, this guy, he's getting a little older now, so he doesn't fight like he used to. But this is a guy that would get in a fist fight 2 or 3 or 4 times a month at the county fair, at a bar, big strapping, lineman pole climbing guy, and rides a big Harley. With a tattooed Indian woman on the back of it, and lives in an old trailer house out in the woods. And I mean, you would think he's the closest thing to a real Charles Bronson as you're ever going to meet. You know what I mean? He reminds me of kind of Charles Bronson.
You mean he's more like Charles Bronson than Bronzy from Escape from Death?
Probably. I mean, now that I say it, probably. Yeah. Yes. I mean, he might be a little bit too big and built but imagine Bronzy being 40, I guess is 42 or 43.
Okay.
Right. You know, that's yeah. really the deciding factor. But I asked him to be on podcast, and you know what? He's afraid people are gonna make fun of him, because he says, I ain't gonna have them people make fun of me.
Who's making fun of? See, I think that's a misconception.
Of all, they're strangers. And of course, my other cousin was sitting there and says, well, we're making fun of you. Well, y'all are family. It don't count. I knocked y'all out. You fuck with me too bad. That's what he says. So I said, dude, you're strangers. You don't even have to tell me your real name. We'll get you a fake name, like all those people in Hollywood and shit. They got fake names.
but you know what? We have fantastic fans. So they're not going to make fun of
him. He's not going to get on here anyway. And then I got an uncle that tells a story about seeing lightning bolts. They were riding a team of mules home. I mean, anytime you got lightning bolts and a team of mules, that story needs to be told, right?
Well, exactly.
It was balls of fire, not lightning bolts. It was balls of fire rolling down this gravel road by this old country church. There was an old abandoned house, and they were riding this team. They were in a buckboard wagon behind a team of mules when these kids are 7 or 8 years old. So it's been like 57, 58. And they've been told their whole life, stay away from this place. And then they went by one night, and I don't remember what was going on, but there was the devil up there rolling fireballs at them.
Like the devil? Like,
or somebody. Saying, I mean, they assumed it was the devil, you know what I mean? Because that's what their grandma told them. It had to be the devil, because he's the only person that played with fire like that, I guess. And he tells that story with such conviction, I want to put him on YouTube. You know what I mean? But then I got to feeling bad for him, because there's a lot of people. There's the problem with the internet is you can't get through the wire to kick the shit out of somebody like they need it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
when exactly. We were kids, the only people who could make fun of you were the people in your orb. They were across the street from you. across the room from you, across the football field from you, and they always stood a chance of you crossing that distance and getting them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there were consequences.
There were consequences. Unfortunately, now all this bully stuff. Now, part of it, I think, is the anti-bullying legislation, but the other, just the internet, right? So people that listen to us in places like Montana, right? When that Montana guy got, and I'm pretty sure in Montana, when he thought about getting shitty with you, he knew you were not going to get in your Model T and drive across the country to find him, because he didn't even use his real name, right? So.
Oh no, I know his real name.
Okay, but anyway. So my uncle, who tells the story, and he's told me twice, maybe I can get him to tell it on the podcast sometime. But I really wanted, because with his facial features and such conviction, it really seals the deal. But I'm not going to put him out there because he doesn't need, there could be a million fans, but there's going to be 1%. There's going to be 10,000 of them that think he's some kind of a backwards ass hillbilly.
Yeah, but what's the matter? Because in this day and age, even if they did, even if there was 10,000 people that thought that, 25 minutes later, they'd be onto something else.
Maybe, yes. Yeah.
They wouldn't even be worried.
So I don't know. I have mixed emotions. So I would like to get him the balls of fire rolling. I mean, anytime, like I said, you got somebody in a buckboard wagon pulled by mules,
him. I'd love to hear what they thought that really was. Or does he still think it was the devil?
I don't remember. I'm going to have to. And maybe I might. I usually go up there and go turkey hunting because he's got a big farm in Northwest Missouri. So, maybe I can get him to tell it, and if nothing else, record it and then play it on there. Maybe I can get some interaction with him. Maybe, if I could keep him on the rails, because he's liable to go off the rails. You know what I mean? You don't even know fact from fiction. You know what I mean? So when you're talking to a retired truck driver who's a current farmer, right, about a team of mules in 1958 in a buckboard wagon getting fire rolled at you from a town called Cedar City. It's gone now, but in Cedar City, Missouri, I mean, there's just so many layers of that onion to peel.
You're right. You're right.
I mean, to get down to, and what started it, there was a house. There's a place in Missouri called Coates Sandessen, Coates Sandessen, maybe. So it's a mound on the north side of the river, about 6 or 8 miles south of the Missouri capital. And by the Constitution, in 1821, when they made Missouri a state, they wanted the capital within, I think, 10 miles of the confluence of the Osage and Missouri rivers, because that was the manner of traffic back in them days, right? The river was.
Yeah.
So one side of the river is right, like now the north side of the river is all flat fields. There's just a couple like mountains. I don't know, I guess the theory is the glacier stopped at where the Missouri River is now in Missouri. A big portion of the river was carved right through here. That's where the glacier stopped. So one side of the river is farm ground, basically. The south side of the river is the Mississippian Plateau, the start of the Ozark Hills. You know what I mean? It turns into the Ozark Mountains.
Yeah.
So the north side of the river, I guess they wanted to make this place the first Missouri capital because some French Jesuit missionaries had a fort there in like 1704, 1712. But then they decided to put the capital up the river a little bit on the opposite side because mosquitoes and bugs and swamp and a whole bunch of other stuff, right? So the north side of the river has really traditionally always been kind of the blue collar side of the river. And there was a town called Cedar City. It floated away in 93. The flood of 93 is what killed them. And that's just where the old poor people lived, was on the north side of the river. And that's where my family come. They were from now it's pretty, it's a very expensive, in some places affluent place, but back in the 50s, it wasn't. And where was I going with this story? Now I'm all screwed up again. So back to this hill. When I was in high school, and shortly after, me and some goat rubber buddies of mine, there was supposedly an old house up there that somebody had killed the whole family in the 30s or 40s, right? And we used to go four-wheeling and jacking around, and that's what we always – so last year – 2 years ago when I was turkey hunting with my uncle, I said, hey, what's the deal with that old house on Cote St. Nessus? Was it? And then he looks at me and just straight as an arrow and tells me, yeah. Basically the same story I've heard my whole life is whole family got killed and they didn't know really who killed them. Then he told me to ask my grandma, his mom. She could tell us the people that live there. And it was, the whole thing was haunted. So when I was in high school in the 80s, we would just go up there with girls or whatever. And it was an old abandoned house that supposedly everybody got killed in. And you just, you know, do whatever teenagers did at that time. So when I told him that, he said, well, there's a worse place than that. And I said, worse than the whole family getting killed? And he goes, yeah. He says, do you know where so-and-so's place was? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, you know, that whole road there was an old basically a plantation. So the north side of the river was all planters. They were all slaveholding planters. So if you go back pre-Civil War, there's just a whole lot of history there, right? So supposedly there was almost like a haunted plantation. Now that place has been cut up into farms and different things. And he said that road was haunted, and we were always told you don't ever go by that road when it was full moon, or I don't know, some goofy what's it called when you believe it? Superstitious type stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And they had gotten, they were picking sweet corn or something in a buckboard wagon by hand, if you know what picking corn by hand would be like.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it, but people in them days really did it. So, and they got running late, and they ended up going by this place on a full moon night. And that's when this figure was rolling balls of fire towards them. And they run the team home, and they got up there, and Grandma wanted to know what the hell they were in such a hurry for, and why they were running the team like that. And they had to tell her that the balls of fire were getting thrown at them. And I don't remember if it was she said, well, you know, it's the devil, and we told you not to be over there. You know, almost matter of fact, like, well, yeah.
Of course, you know. the devil lives over. We told you all about it. What's wrong?
Yes.
So I wonder what it was.
And he told me two or three people that I could talk to that would know. Now, one of them has since passed. Actually, two of them have since passed. But if I didn't believe them, I could go ask these guys. Well, ask so-and-so and ask so-and-so.
Because they were with him, or they had experienced the same thing?
One of them was with him, and one of them had told them that the same thing had happened to them, and they didn't believe him until it happened.
Wow. Okay. And so that place still exists?
And I don't want to tell his story because it's his story, but he's told me the story twice, and it might be my mind, but I'm going to throw this out here. It was almost like, so when you get over there, they got pecan trees. When you get on the river bottom, these big pecan trees, some of them are giant big around, right? I mean, giant big around, and the limbs just barely almost hang to the ground. And when he told me the story the second time, it was almost like the tree itself was a giant stick man, and the tree limbs were rolling these balls of fire at him.
Kind of like from the Wizard of Oz, where they, you know, the trees have thrown the apples and stuff.
Yeah, or something like that. And maybe that's what it was. I mean, in the 50s, I'm sure he'd probably seen the Wizard of Oz or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm going to try to get him to tell the story. And, you know, I'm going to another funeral tomorrow.
Oh, geez.
And visitation, a funeral on Friday. And it's my grandpa, my step-grandpa, my stepmom's dad. And there'll be a couple people there. And maybe I can ask him about it. And get a little clarification.
Now, you know what would amaze people is that where we're at it's in this episode and what we were going to talk about.
I don't remember. What were we going to talk about? Oh, we were talking about the woman cutting the dude up and putting the head in the bucket, right?
Yeah, leaving the head in the bucket.
And I told you, at least she had the decency to put the head in the bucket.
I mean, that's a crazy story. So I don't know. I came across a story. A Wisconsin woman put put dismembered victim's head in a bucket after meth-fueled sex act. I don't even know what else, where to go.
What did she say when the cops asked her what happened?
So the cops asked her what happened, and her answer was, that's a good question. That's a good question.
I think that's a great answer. And, you know, if I saw the headline, I saw you sent it to me, I looked at it, and I didn't really read the nuts and bolts because it really, I mean, it intrigued me, but it didn't really surprise me, you know. The girl looked fairly attractive, right?
Yeah, she's not bad looking. So the story is that her and this dude started smoking meth or whatever you do with it, and then started, you know, messing around. But the
you know,
stuff that was included in this messing around was the use of chains, which it sounds like they use dog choke collars. Now, you're a dog guy. You know what a dog choke collar is, with the spikes and stuff in the sides that you pull on. So why would you let somebody put a collar like that around your neck? Or is taking drugs just that crazy of a thing?
You know, I told you she looked fairly attractive in the one picture I saw. I might pull an article up here while I'm talking to you. You know, people do strange things.
Oh, right? I'm obviously,
you know, I think Freud or one of, you know, true sexuality is in the mind, not necessarily, you know, right? The body can't go where the mind hasn't been. Okay. And the, who knows, maybe this guy finally thought he was getting lucky, right?
I suppose. Now,
hold on a second. I'm reading this. She's a monster. Family of man, 24, hit out a married woman. So she was married to somebody else. Carving up his body, leaving bucket. Well, did you see the picture of the dude? Is this picture of the dude? Is this the dead dude on the left?
I don't know.
I'm looking at the Daily Mail.
No, I'm looking at the Daily Beast.
She left that Shad Thiron's head in a bucket by the stairs where his horrified mother discovered it. So
the guy's mom?
She's got something tattooed on the neck. And I tell my kids all the time, a neck tattoo is a clue. I don't know what my fans, I got a good friend of mine's got Jesus on his neck. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's fucking dangerous. So if they got a neck tattoo, they're dangerous. But this dude, his name was Shadrock Thiron. He looks like a Shadrock. And he looks like she might have did him a favor.
Jeez, that's okay. Terrible.
I'm just telling you. But, you know, that's why I always say you really only should date ugly women. Because they'll appreciate you. So if this gal would have been ugly and this was the first dude that hung out with her or whatever, she would probably try to take care of him a little bit. Whoa. Did you see these pictures?
I there's so many articles.
Well,
I
don't know what this is. Business like. She had been doing drugs, smoking meth early in the day. Well, how wide is the Ohio River down there at Cincinnati if you wanted to swim over the Rhine?
It's wide.
Could do it. She's got lung capacity where she could swim that thing in the widest point. She could probably go down to Cairo, Illinois and swim across Bird's Point when they blew the levee. And she looks like a cross between Morticia Adams and dare I say one of my favorite Spanish movie stars, Salma Hayek.
Okay.
But the neck tattoo, and she's got some turquoise Indian stuff around her, like a dream catcher. You know, I guess nightmares are dreams too, right? So she took old Shad's, but he looks like
a victim. Well, here
he looks like a victim.
Here is a quote. She enjoyed choking him, but did not mean to kill him.
It says, hold on. She told police she and Thyron had been going to have sex and that he produced a chain. He had produced two metal chains, one for him and one for her. She said he put his chain around his own neck as strangulation was something they had used during intercourse before. So either the writer of this article has terrible English, which is possible.
Yes.
The statement she made to the cops was in terrible English, which is possible. She had produced. So she and Thyron had been going to have sex. I don't know. Had been going. It's like two past tense or something. But she's got a husband, a picture of her and her husband, and her husband looks like she's recently become a mother of two. That explains lung capacity. And Mateo in a minute. And she knew. So there's a like a picture of her and her husband, and he looks like he is not a victim because he is not killable.
Okay. I've not come across the picture of
see, I'm husband. On the good article. I'm on the good article here.
I'm guessing.
And
I'm
what I mean it. By, you know, have you ever seen these people that have just been in so much stuff their whole life that it would kill a normal person?
Yeah.
Her husband looks like he has been through everything and then some, and he is never going to die unless it's in the penitentiary because... What?
I know exactly the kind of people you're talking.
He looks like a little wiry wannabe badass, and he just, you know, it's like, you know, bad people are like bad dogs. They never go away. Good ones seem to fade out fast, get lost, or something happens to them. But bad people, like bad dogs. These people. What I don't understand is there's so much about this I don't understand. There's so much about this I don't understand.
Yes, I hope that people as they're listening.
So have back to the English. It was written by Laura Collins. Maybe we should reach out to her. Chief investigative reporter. For the Daily Mail. Now, she's got chief investigative reporter capitalized, the C, the I, and the R. Okay. It is a title, which would be correct, but then she's got the word for, FOR, capitalized.
DailyMail.com updated.
Huh?
Which should not be capitalized.
It should not. And I had to take every English class I ever took twice. So I've got twice the English. And grammar that the average person has. So I happen to see things like that bug me. Now I'm going to go to the comments.
Oh, God.
This one, I sort them to best. That's about the sickest story I've heard in a while. Unfortunately, it proves that some women can be as twisted and dangerous as men. Feel so bad for his poor mother.
That's bad. I mean... It's one thing to leave it like out in your, but leave it where the guy's mom can find it. That's awful.
So this one says, truly, we're living in evil times, which were literally unbelievable in even the 50s. I'm going to look at the replies. There's always been evil. Read about Gordon Stewart, Northcott in the 20s, Gertrude Brzezinski in the 60s. They both looked evil. Horrible crimes happened back then too, but they just didn't hear about it. So really, I get more out of the comments than anything else. God. Okay. This one says, I'll be walking into walls the rest of the day after reading this. If you haven't read it yet, don't. Well, I don't know if it necessarily caused me to walk into walls.
No. Oh, man. And I didn't even, and I remembered the other article that you sent me this week was the guy driving the semi.
The mail truck that crashed the mail truck, right? Or it gets on.
Well, it was a semi carrying mail.
Uh-huh.
Into the Charles River outside of Boston.
There you go.
And what got me is how the guy survived. And was able. He couldn't swim, but he climbed. He was able to scramble on top of the cab and call for help and tell him he couldn't swim. But I got to be honest. He's done what just about every one of us that have ever driven a truck full of mail has wanted to do, and that's just drive into the river with it.
Well, you know what makes me think? Yeah, when people say, "Well, I really mailed that to you," maybe they were telling the truth.
Yeah, because it sounded like it was probably it had more packages on it than anything, you know. And then, of course,
so there's where my Amazon thing's going.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I've got to put my phone down because that article, there's so many unanswered questions. I wish I could get in there and invest in interrogator, or at least talk to her a little bit about what exactly.
Hey, look, maybe she's a fan and we'll be able to reach
call out collect from the jail. I don't want to incur those charges, but I guess it could happen, right?
Wouldn't it be worth it?
Maybe. No, because she could be a freaking nutbag. If she's too stupid to clean up the dead head on the bucket in the doorstep by the kid's dead, alive, you know, in the victim's mother's place, she's probably not smart enough to carry on a conversation.
Well, now, to be fair, she said in there that she explained it. It wasn't that she was too stupid. She was just too lazy. That was her reason.
Which that she makes got, it even worse.
Yeah,
makes
she it was just worse. Too lazy. So she wasn't stupid. She was just lazy.
Which is why her old man had her out on the street, because he's done tired of her. He's probably home taking care of the baby because she don't even want to take care of the baby.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Well,
dare I start going down that road? You know what I mean?
We should probably stop and just remind everybody, like, if you want to get involved in this mess of us, just, you know, going.
Reach out through Shane on Instagram, and then we'll get you on Facebook, and Instagram. Hopefully I can stay. My attention span will be long enough that we can carry on a conversation. If you've got a news article or a crazy experience you want to talk about, I can't guarantee that I won't say some mean stuff or whatever, because I'm having some terrible thoughts here.
Oh, God.
You know.
Well, I promise we won't leave anybody's head in a bucket at their mom's house.
I don't even know anybody that's got a mom anymore. I was trying to figure out how big a bucket was his head, because I guess my head would probably fit in a 5-gallon bucket, right?
Listen, I got a big head. Listen, yeah, I wear a 7 5/8 hat.
I mean, but I saw this kid's picture, and he looks, I mean, he's kind of wormy looking. I mean, she didn't have a big strapping healthy victim. He looks like a victim.
Well, no, he's smoking meth. How big and healthy could he be?
I don't know. I've seen all the shit that Tom Sizemore took, and he seemed to always be in halfway decent shape.
I think you're watching movies from about 20 years ago.
You know, I've been reading about that poor Madsen guy getting evicted of his $10,500 a month home in Malibu. You know what I'm talking about?
Who?
Michael Madsen from Reservoir Dogs and some of the other ones.
Now, wait a second. Michael Madsen just did a movie with our buddy Chris Hahn.
Well, hey, good for him.
Yeah. And I don't want to, you know.
There was an article about, I guess his son had an untimely death here.
They wrapped up the movie.
He's having hard times and was in some sort of a.
He got arrested in Hawaii for like breaking and entering, I believe.
Well, he was breaking into his own home that the property owners that he was renting, the property owners don't want him to come back.
Okay.
So
he was renting it and got kicked out.
$10,500 a month, and then they rented it to somebody else, and he said he went there to get his stuff.
I got you.
But I think he was drunk too, or something, which I would be too if I was getting evicted after my son died. After my brother did, I come home one day. I told my wife, I said, you better hope nothing happens to these kids, because something ever happens to one of my kids, I'm done. That's it. It's over.
Yeah. I mean, and the bad thing is, I his son took his own life. That's
what they said. So yeah. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that story, but bad shit happens out there. So
I don't know,
like,
but that's
like my mom says, you better get straight with the Lord, because you don't know when he's going to come get you. So
that's, yeah, exactly right.
Hopefully you won't be riding a buckboard, hauling, you know, being pulled by mules and a ball of fire get you. But it could happen that way, I suppose. We ain't even got to talk about Ukraine yet. I could go on an hour about Ukraine.
I think we probably should stop.
Yes. Okay. Good night. That's it. Good night, everybody. It's time to go to bed.